I want to just, I was out to the jail teaching this past week, and my lesson was so short, I was surprised at myself. You know, we preachers can get wax eloquent and get long-winded, and I didn't, and the message was really simple. It was about the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. It's really simple. One guy said, "Wow," he said, "that was short, simple, and good." And I said, "Well, thank you. It's good to talk about the Lord, because whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's just how powerful that name is." Amen. And so I said to them, you know, kind of joking, I said, "You know what KISS stands for?" Probably you've all heard the joke, KISS, you know. You heard that story? All right. So for those that haven't heard it, I get to tell it. But a preacher was preaching, and his wife was sitting in the back, and she held up a sign, KISS. He thought, "Oh, honey, not here. She's romantic right here in the middle of, honey, this is supposed to be spiritual. Please don't. And afterward, he said, "What are you doing holding up KISS? "Keep it short, stupid." Well, I was thinking of it this way, as an acrostic: keep it simple, Stevie boy, you know. But I said to the guys, I said, "Do you know what KISS means?" And one guy said, "Yes, keep it simple, sinner." Well, that's good. I think we could say, "Keep it simple, saint." And I have nothing new to give you today. I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to give attention to that cross we've been singing about, and to the Lord who gave his life there. When we come in from the west side, we were coming in from Boise this past week. Every time I go on the highway over here, there's a little cross. It sits over in the borrow pit there, right by a junkyard of all places. And it tugs at my heart. So I had to go and I knew who it was. I read it in the paper, but I wanted to go and just reflect. I went there and I pulled my car off to the side. And Stacy Marie Shryock, I think I said it right. She went out on a motorcycle ride and someone hit her. It was intoxicated, and she was taken from this world. And somebody must love Stacy. She must have been important to somebody, because somebody actually made a metal cross with her name etched in it. They cut it all out. It's quite well done. And it's set there, and there's pictures all around. And it's been a couple years or so, but there's still flags there, and there's still fresh memorabilia for this young lady. And I know she was a mother, I believe. And then when we travel towards Boise, you go along the road, and there you see little crosses, don't you, where something happened. It causes me just to pause, just to say, something happened here. And it's crying out for memory, isn't it? It's crying out for somebody to, don't just forget this. Something happened here along the road. Something tragic took place that changed somebody's life, and that took somebody's life. And those crosses, I will have to say, are sad, aren't they? Because they cry out for justice. They cry out for answers that don't seem to be forthcoming. I think of the military crosses. Cross upon cross upon cross. Pocatello is the host of what we call the Field of Heroes out here every Memorial weekend. And I knew the man, John, who started all that. And thousands of crosses there. And in fact, people have been coming from just going to pass through Pocatello, and they've come by that ball field there at Century High School, and they've said, "What is this?" People have stopped and said, "What is this?" And somebody tells them it's the heroes, the casualties out of the Gulf War and all that area there. And people have been so impressed that the community would remember in such a fashion as it does. Because war is a terrible thing. I worked with veterans for 24 years. War is a terrible thing. And I didn't get to minister to the to all the thousands that gave their life. They died. They didn't plan on dying, but there's crosses in the middle. The cross seems to answer something that nothing else does, right? The horizontal and the vertical meet. Man and God meet the cross. And so I believe even people that don't have a Christian faith, they just feel like, I got to put a cross there. The cross represents what we're trying to say. We're trying to say, remember them and don't forget. Well, you know, and I think of tragedies, and they do happen. Last Sunday, it was a tragedy. You know what it's about. 9 people killed in a helicopter crash. And I'm sure Kobe Bryant didn't wake up and think, well, I'm going to die today. I don't know that he had any premonition, but he probably wouldn't have gotten on the helicopter that day. But things happen, don't they? Tragedies. There's sadness. Jesus came to carry our grief and our sorrows, did he not? And you know, they related tragedies to Jesus one time. And I think it's Luke chapter 18. It said, Jesus, you know, some of the Galileans came down here to give sacrifices in Jerusalem. And Pilate, who hated Galileans, he and Herod were going like this at each other. He killed those Galileans, and he mixed their blood with their sacrifice. Now, that's terrible. So you can see Pilate wasn't a good guy that Jesus stood before later on. And Jesus said these words, do you think that these people were worse sinners than any others? No. You know, we're not here to judge. It's easy for the living to judge the dead, and we should not. We should not, because we can't. And Jesus said these words, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And another one said, you know, there was a tower. They were building a tower, a structure, and it fell down, and it killed 18 people. And Jesus said, do you think that they were worse sinners than others? No, they weren't. And if you don't repent, you will all likewise perish. In other words, what he's saying is, something unexpected will happen to you that you don't want. I don't think any of us want tragedy for our lives. I don't want something unexpected. I don't want something, I don't know my fate, but I certainly want to be in the will of God all the way up to the point of my death. Amen? Amen. But to have something tragic, to be spared, Jesus said, but if you will repent, and if you don't, there will be something unexpected and tragic. There's nothing more tragic than somebody dying without Jesus. That is tragic. It truly is. And so there's the call of the cross, and there's a call of the Lord calling us again to his cross. The great tragedy, but really the great victory too, because we know the end result of that cross. He's not there anymore, is he? But we have to go to the cross, because that's the beginning. That's the illustration of the power of God, of the wisdom of God, as we heard the reading this morning. Amen. And you know, there's truths that inform, and we all like to be informed. But there are truths that transform. Sometimes we just want to know more so we can know more than somebody else. But we really need a truth that will change us and that will transform us. And that's what the cross is able to do. That was Paul's testimony. It truly was. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, and then I'm going to read from chapter 4. Paul says this to a church that had lost sight of the cross. They were more into performance. We're going to be really good people, and we're going to be better than everybody else. We're going to keep the letters of the law. They were trying to put new wine in old bottles, and that doesn't work, okay? And so they had lost the focus of what it's really all about. And so Paul is giving them his testimony. He said in chapter 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, that's what I'm all about. I was a ridiculer. I was a blasphemer. I'm crucified with Christ. Crucifixion is not an instant death. And those of you that know what it is to be crucified with Christ, it takes a while for that old person to die out, doesn't it? For those old thoughts and those old words. But you're on the cross. You're mortifying it. You're putting it on the cross. You're limiting it. And you're submitting it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. And that old guy, he's dying. But there's a new guy living in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he says to this church, and I want to read this scripture, chapter 6 and verse 14 and 15. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. I don't really have any notes today. I feel, you know, that's dangerous for a man at my age not to have notes here today. But I just want to be so simple. In fact, I was walking around the church I saw these little emblems here. I think we got one. Here's a crown of thorns. You know, here's a cup. And the cup is, all these things are meaningful. If I had it, we could show you a blood-stained robe. We could show you lots of things, couldn't we? We're not into relics, but sometimes we need to be reminded. We'll be coming to the emblems of the communion today, and I just want to remind you what it's all about, that he wore the crown of thorns so that we could wear the crown of glory. He drank the bitter cup that we could drink the sweet cup of the fruit of the vine. Amen. Amen. His body was broken. I mean broken. Whipped. Broken. And we come to eat bread that brings nourishment into our bodies. So how blessed we are. Amen. Paul's message was nothing more than Christ and him crucified. He said to them, that's what I want you to know. First and foremost, he told the Galatians, a very cultured city, a very highly developed city. And he said, I didn't come to you with the words of men's wisdom. I didn't want you to go away saying, well, that Paul guy is really smart. I wanted you to come away knowing that somebody died for your sins. That somebody really loves you and that the price has been paid for your iniquity and for your sin. That's what must take place. And that's my goal here today, is that each and every one of us today can see the wisdom of God and the power of God in the cross. Greatest example of love. What is the greatest example of love? Is this. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. There's no greater love. You can't go over top that. And Jesus has done that. He gave his life. As I follow the life of Jesus, I'm just so amazed at how keen he was on going to the cross. He knew that was his mission and that was his goal, and he went there on purpose. He said at one point, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down. My Father loves me because I lay my life down voluntarily. I'm going to the cross out of love. I'm going to the cross on purpose. It's not suicide. No, no. I am going to the cross because there's a love that compels me that it must absolutely be done. And he gave his life for the world. Don't believe those things that say Jesus just died for a select few. Oh, no, 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 no. Jesus died for the whole world twice over. And all, everybody that's ever lived, and more so. Amen. And, you know, he even rebuked Peter. When Peter suggested, Jesus was trying to share his mission with his disciples, they couldn't understand it. Said, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem. They're gonna crucify me. But I'm going to raise the third day. But, oh, no, no. Peter said, you can't do that, Lord. You talk about Peter getting rebuked. The Bible says this, that Jesus looked at his disciples when Peter said that. There they are, struggling men. And he turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. You don't perceive the things of God, but the things of man. Boy, you can imagine Peter going, you know, he had just been commended about knowing who Jesus was. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now he's getting rebuked because Peter doesn't understand, and nor does carnal man understand the things of God. In fact, I think the only people that could understand what Jesus was about to do was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah appeared and they talked about his death. It must have been comforting to have somebody to talk to that understood what was going to happen. because nobody on the earth had a clue of what was happening in the life of Jesus. It also says in Mark chapter 10, verse 32, that Jesus, as he was going to Jerusalem from Galilee, he almost took off in a dead run. Said he went ahead of them, his head back. And they were like, don't go to Jerusalem, they hate you there. You know, but we'll follow you. And the Bible says they were afraid. There was such a determination that they said, well, let's go, but it doesn't look good. But he's heading right into the lion's den. He's heading right into the devil's pit. He's going on a mission. And they were astonished at his determination. Amen. God so loved. Did he not? So loved. So loved. I like that little word, so, so. It's intense. In other words, God so loved the world, his own world. He loved his creation. That it was good at one time, wasn't it? And then tragedy struck. Self-will and stubbornness and all this set in. And it was not good. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, God's love has expression, doesn't it? And this is the expression. This is it. The cross is the expression of God's love. God sent his Son to die for you and you and you and everyone here. And you'll never be the same when you've heard the story of the cross. You've got to deal with it because he paid a price for you. Amen. And you respond positively or negatively. You are accountable because he came to set you free. He came to open the prison doors for you. Amen. The veil was rent in two and love poured out from the presence of God when Jesus died upon the cross. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful. Praise God. Amen. The Bible tells us that there's a new love that God gives us today. It's not our old carnal love. You know, we have all kinds of phony loves. I love you because you love me. And, you know, I love you because you look nice. And I love you because you got money. And I love you because you might get me a job. And I love you because, you know, we have all this phony, I guess you call it filial love and eros love. But no, what poured out of the veil when the veil was rent in twain was agape love. A love that had never been experienced quite the same. A love that poured forth out today. Amen. And it's flooding us today. That's what you feel here today. That's the presence of Jesus. It's a love of Jesus. Amen. And the Bible says this. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Amen. I mean, I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if you think I'm a fuddy-duddy and a four-eyed little sorry preacher of some kind. God's love is to enable me to love you, to love the sinner, to love the saint. Amen. And to have that throbbing, if God so loved me, then we ought to. In fact, it even says this. It says that we ought to lay down our life for the brothers. What? Yeah. We ought to lay down. You know, you can love so much that you just freely spend your life for Jesus and for his people, for his church. You just say, it's not cultish. It's love. It's not being for. It's a love that God puts in your heart. Paul said this, I want to spend and be spent. I want there to be nothing left for Jesus. Would you stand with me, please? While the worship team comes, we prepare to take the communion. I wonder. I don't know how to do this. But church isn't right with a God that so loved us And we're so casual. And we're so cavalier. I want just in the next few minutes, brother, we're not quite ready, but we will be. Just step aside just for a second. I wonder if, however you want to do it, maybe you'd like to just stand at the front. Maybe you'd like to kneel where you're at. But if God so loved us, are we not to love God back? You don't have to do anything if you don't want to. You know, we're not here to scan, but I just want somebody to give an expression that God's love has reached you. And you're not ashamed of it. And you love him. And you want to show a token of your love, your worship to him, your devotion. And I don't know if you want to come kneel. You can, everybody just sit down for a minute if you would. You can just rest quietly there. But if you want to come, you want to kneel somewhere, I'm going to just spend a little time on my knees at the altar. If anybody would like to join me, please feel free to.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior, oh, that cursed tree. And drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah stood, and all alone. Oh,
What did Paul say? I'm crucified to the world, and the world's crucified to me. He takes this world out of your heart, puts a new world in there. You know what? It's all right if you're apathetic about the Super Bowl today, because it won't matter. But Jesus matters. His cross will endure when we can't even remember what happened today. Somebody wins, somebody loses. Somebody's happy, somebody's sad. That's just the way the world is, isn't it? Amen. But Jesus gives us all the victory. Amen, brethren. Would you come? We're going to ask you to come and to receive the communion. I'm going to ask you to stand this time and come as you will. We'll do like we do from the outside and down the aisle here. And let's receive the communion with grateful hearts. And let's come and let the cleansing power of Jesus be upon us today.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin
left a crimson stain, he washed it white.
ever satisfied. Through every trial, my soul will sing, no turning back. I've been set free. Oh, Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need.
Christ, my all in all, the joy of my salvation, and this hope will never fail. Heaven is our home. Through every storm, my soul will sing, Jesus is here. To God be the glory. Oh, Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
No turning back.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning. Turning back, the cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. And Christ is enough for me.
Christ is enough for me.
Everything let's sing it. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
No turning back.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
One more time. I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
No turning back.
I have decided to follow Jesus.